Thanks for listening to the Replatform podcast, sponsored by Patchworks, hosted by me, James Gerd. We bring you interviews with industry thought leaders, the C-suite of tech companies. We showcase interesting technology to help you decide what's relevant to your business and hopefully come up with new solutions or new ways of doing work. In return, all we ask is to tell other people about the podcast. And if it's your first time listening, do give us a rating wherever you're watching and listening. So let me set up our latest episode and introduce our guest. So we're talking about e-commerce accessibility and taking it seriously. So looking at things around strategy, compliance approaches. And we're talking with a business that's got a lot of expertise, and this is a core part of their product and service offering. That's Crownpeak. And a warm welcome today to Arena, who's the manager for accessibility services. How are you, Arena?
Hi, James. I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for joining us. Before we start getting into the questions around accessibility, because this is, we talked about this before recording, it's such an important area because every website needs to take this seriously. Every website needs to understand what accessibility is, how it impacts their customers, and also how what impact it can have on them if they don't do it right. So before we do that, why don't you give people a bit of a flavor for what you do and where you fit in?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, hi, everybody who are watching or listening. I am Irina, and I am the manager of accessibility services with Crownpeak. My background is definitely very diverse, I would say, but I do have strong passion about digital equality and accessibility when it comes to absolutely everything. My background is in film, higher education, and accessibility. And what I do within Crownpeak is that I work closely with my team where we are having regular knowledge transfers between ourselves, as well as the overall organization, as well as working with the sales team to architect customer solutions. Because there is no one size fits all when it comes to accessibility.
Yeah, that's a really nice starting point for this, actually, is that it's not a convenient, here's my three steps and everyone does exactly the same thing. And we'll get on to that in a bit more detail. And we talked about this episode because I went to Crownpeak's conference at the end of last year and you gave a talk and I found some of the areas really interesting because it's always good to learn new things because it's an area that's not my expertise. So let's start. We talked about your current role around accessibility. Let's start about the relevance of this then. Let's get the context. Why do e-commerce businesses need to take this seriously? There might be some people saying, oh, I know that some customers can't access the site if it's not accessible, but you know what? I've got bigger problems to worry about. So what are the business drivers for taking this seriously, and what's the value of getting it right?
Well, first of all, it is the right thing to do if we want to look at this holistically. It is the right thing to do. You want to create fair and equal experiences for all of your users. And once you do that, you're going to get all of the benefits from inclusive design and accessibility, which, if I have to categorize it, it is going to be, it's driving innovation and is going to be within your team of what different solutions can you come up with that is going to serve your users. You're going to enhance your brand more people would like to stay on your site, visit your site, is going to increase the loyalty of your customers, then that is going to then generate revenue, then you're going to have increased ROI. And then it does extend the market reach because you have approximately 1.3 billion people with disabilities globally. And that does not even count for the people with temporary disabilities. Like, I can have an eye surgery tomorrow and I won't be able to use any of my devices, right? And if I want to order food because I don't feel like cooking, or I want to do something else, order something that I need, like a blouse, t-shirt, whatever that might be, that's where, you know, if your site is not accessible, I'll be like, all right, I'm in this current situation. I cannot order it. That's not good. And I'll bounce back and try to find another site. But that market, all of those people, not counting for the people with temporary disability, has 8 trillion spending power, which is huge. And it's just, you're missing an opportunity there if you're not addressing accessibility on your site. And the thing that I believe everybody is really hung up to, onto, is minimizing the legal risk. Everyone is talking about compliance, lawsuits, and I think that a lot of the times when we talk about accessibility, immediately we are associating it with legal risk. So once you're addressing that from the get-go, you are minimizing complaints that are going to come your way. So that's kind of like, in a nutshell, all of your kind of four important things, categories. And again, I am very into this is the right thing to do. So, you know, focus on these drivers, absolutely. But at the same time, focus that it's the right thing to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, I like that point that this is fundamentally the right thing to do for customers. And it's really interesting, actually, because I've had lots of conversations with people, mainly UK companies, but also other European companies, about, okay, why did it? And the starting point is, as you've alluded to, is normally I don't want to be fined. And it's a negative way of looking at customer experience. Customer experience includes accessibility. In the UK alone, I think the RNIB has said there's going to be 5 million people with visual impairment by 2025. That's just visual impairment. That's not talking about like neurodivergent issues. And I love the point you made about temporary. I know it happens, but I hadn't thought about the flux and the up and down numbers of your existing customer base who could suddenly find themselves disadvantaged on your site. And a lot of the time and we'll come onto this, I think, in terms of risk later, but a lot of time people look at accessibility as the developers make the code accessible and we're done. Which is an interesting thing. So I'm glad that you've said that it's about caring rather than just being compliant.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, think about it. If you break your leg or you are with a stroller and you're living in an apartment building that doesn't have an elevator, how are you going to get to your apartment? Or if you have business to do downtown, and again, the elevator is out of working, it's out of service right now. This is like, we're taking a lot of little things for granted because we're just so used to have everything at our disposal. And when you're not used to that, that is something totally different. And as we're aging even, you know, we are going to your point. I mean, everyone needs glasses at one point in their life. So let's ensure that all of us, everything that is accessible to a fully abled person right now in the digital space is also accessible to anyone that may have some sort of disability, temporary or not.
Yeah. Excellent. So let's now look at the strategic view on this, because the other thing that I come across in businesses is a lack of understanding of what an accessibility strategy is. So as I said, for some people it's, well, the developers make sure the code is, you know, let's take the global guidelines, WCAG compliant. Great, we've ticked it. It's level A compliant. Okay, done it. And that's the accessibility strategy, but it's not. That's a part of it. So can you talk people through what is involved in an accessibility strategy? What are the component parts?
Well, you have, when we're talking about accessibility, there are two approaches. First of all, I want to start with that. You have the very reactive approach, which a lot of folks take, especially when there is a lawsuit, and there is a proactive one. So the reactive one is when, again, you have a lawsuit and you need an audit as soon as possible, need to hire someone, and that usually limits your scope of what you can audit, which then does not make the whole site or product compliant. It's just like specific little snippets from your product. And once you get that going, you're out of the door. All right, we completed the audit. We fixed these things. We have our conformance documentation. We are done. And that is a reactive approach. And then you're thinking that, okay, done and done. I don't have to think about that again. But that's where you're wrong. And that's where you actually have to think that any changes that you'll be publishing will possibly break something on your site, not only from a functional standpoint, but from an accessibility standpoint. Not to mention that every platform has regular updates, and that can also affect the accessibility. So you want to have a proactive approach, which is, let's think about educating our team, our stakeholders, and why this is important. Have people in place that will be managing the accessibility portion and make accessibility part of your life cycle, development life cycle. So that means, all right, I'm going to create a new, let's say though you're building a whole new site and you want to have the wireframes checked by your experts, then after that, you want to review your brand guides. A lot of folks do oversee that and they're like, why do I need someone to check my colors and fonts? But that's actually very important. So have someone review your brand guides. Once you have the design finalized, have someone, again, check for accessibility. So any tweaks, you have that time to adjust anything that you need. And then once you move into development and start coding, again, regular checks, that is going to actually save you a lot of money. And once you launch, that's your strategy of maintaining that site accessible. It will vary from organization to organization of what policies and standards you want to set, but make sure that you're staying educated on top of any new trends. Also, if you're going to post on social media is evolving so much. Well, digital space is also like living and breathing thing, but you have so many accessible features nowadays with Instagram, with Facebook, with Twitter that you can take, you know, advantage of. So as you are staying up to date with all of these trends, you are going to be you're going to really take care of absolutely every little facet within the business to ensure that you're accessible. And then you're going to provide good experience. I think that I'm getting a little bit redundant with the good experience, but at the end of the day, I think that that's what we are all aiming for.
Patchworks, the world's most modern integration platform. We can connect any key e-commerce system from storefronts to marketplaces and ERPs to fulfillment solutions. This allows retailers and partners alike to simplify their tech stack integration and do away with point-to-point vendor-specific apps. We can automate and streamline the flow of data across your entire e-commerce business. Find out more at wearepatchworks.com.
Yeah, I like the comment that stood out for me there was accessibility being part of your development life cycle and not just being a one-off piece. Because one of the things that I've seen in the past is if you just have an internal developers focus on the core site that focus on accessibility, but you don't have a policy in terms of technology selection that has core accessibility in it, you can end up having conversation and picking third party tools that might not necessarily align with the standards you're trying to achieve, which then creates challenges for when you're trying to release code and then maintain your accessibility standards. So yeah, that's a really good point. And let's talk about the elephant in the room with compliance and accessibility, which is getting fined, and you've mentioned it a few times. We know, we're trying to say don't just do accessibility to avoid fines because that's not very positive. But can you talk people through, in the US, it's definitely more of a serious threat than in the UK. Not that it isn't less important in the UK, but some of the fines that I've seen are far higher. Well, can you talk people through what are you seeing? Like how big are the fines that people can be exposed to if they don't take this seriously?
I mean, it varies, but it's between $20,000 to $200,000 on the average. And really, when we're talking about non-compliance, it's not going to be only your financial penalties. It goes beyond that. It goes actually towards the point that I made earlier about reputational damage, legal proceedings, operational disruption, which is retroactively fitting accessibility and trying to organize absolutely everything that you have planned for that quarter or for that year to ensure that you're launching these accessible features. You have market exclusion, missed opportunities, and just the global impact by itself. But again, it varies between $20,000 to $200,000. And what we're seeing is that last year, actually, 77% of the lawsuits were being filed against companies with revenue below $25 million. And it was targeted, actually, e-commerce businesses. E-commerce is your usually number one, followed by education, healthcare, entertainment, and travel and hospitality. So you have all of these, you know, you have also different industries that you still can get a fine, but e-commerce is a big one because ever since COVID, we are online. We are constantly online trying to purchase things versus actually physically going to the store. Every year since 2018, every year the fines for accessibility are increasing. when it comes to federal, we have a increase roughly between 100 to 200 every year. And then when it comes to anything else, it varies per state too, because you have different regulations within the United States for each state. California has a little bit more tight regulations. That varies between 1,000, maybe. It comes close to 1,000 that you can see an increase, but again, it varies.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I don't know if I answered completely that.
No, that's true. That's really useful. The whole point is it varies, but you can see, people can see that if they haven't seen these numbers before, okay, up to 200,000 is a massive one. And knowing that the majority of e-com businesses are the sub 25 million, these aren't the massive global enterprise levels who have been made examples of. It can be bought against anybody. If somebody feels that they had their accessibility needs violated, they can bring a lawsuit against you. So let's expand on this, because I know we talked about this before we started this episode, is that we're not going to give legal advice. We're not qualified to do so. That's not what we're trying to do. We know that, and I recommend, if anyone listening is thinking, shit, I really don't know what I'm doing here, what's the legal requirement? You need a qualified legal representative to guide you through the compliance legislation and what it means and what we need to do and to validate it. But what Arena can do today to help is explain how this varies from market to market. So do you want to talk people through, like, global, regional, what are the different kind of acts and compliance frameworks that people need to be aware of, the names and where, which countries they align to?
Yeah, absolutely. So you have, globally, you have the universal framework that it's recognized, which is the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, for short, WCAG, and the level of conformance that you, in general, should be aiming to is 2.1. Now, the 2.2 version came out actually last year. And if we can start implementing that, that will be fantastic. But if that's too much right now for you, focus on the 2.1 level AA. When we are talking about accessibility, you have also different conformance levels. I'm trying to break this down a little bit more. You have level A, which is absolutely must that you have to cover. Level AA, which is a should. And level AAA, that's a could. And that affects mostly federal when we're talking about government. If you can, again, I'm encouraging everyone that is listening, aim for AAA. Aim for higher color contrast. Aim for transcripts and captioning, everything on your video. In general, the captioning should be included in the AA. But try to set a new standard for yourself within your industry, with your competitors. But, you know, that's the globally recognized guidelines, what you should be aiming at. In the U.S., we have ADA, Americans with Disability Act. We have Section 508, which is related to government. And then when we're talking about, for instance, Canada, we have Ontarians with Disability Act, Accessibility for Ontarians with Disability Act, which is AODA. In Europe, what is coming in 2025 is the EAA, European Accessibility Act. And that is coming into effect June 28th of 2025, which, if you have not even started to think about accessibility, you're very, very late to the game. I don't want to cause any panic, but imagine your huge site with all of the products that you have. Of course, you have some templates that some fixes can be applied there, but it will be a massive undertaking for you to start retrofitting accessibility fixes, which then is going to cost more money again. But these are some of the just various regulation. Again, each country, like Israel, has also their own law when it comes to accessibility. It's the Equal Rights of Persons with Disabilities law. So you have to look at each country if there is anything specific that you have to aim for. But overall, your kind of like stamp of approval, what you have to be looking at and referring to, is the WCAG guidelines.
Excellent, thank you. And for anyone who's who's listening who is within their business thinking or talking about a big migration or replatforming this year. I know that some people are because they've got licenses coming up for renewal in 2025 and this is the time to review. If you're going down that route, ensure that accessibility is a work stream in that project, because you've got, as Arena's been saying, you've got to get that nailed. I've worked on a few projects where we've you know encouraged and persuaded people to take this seriously and make better technology decisions as they go through. And it should also influence the assessments you do with other vendors and platforms. So let's come in. That was my little little sidetrack. So let's come back to, let's talk about, because I love to talk about the Crown Peak bit now, because you obviously, Crown Peak is a business, works with lots of different e-commerce businesses providing accessibility support. Can you talk us through what is your approach to helping educate and get people started? Like, so when you engage, what is Crown Peak doing with people?
Well, I can tell you that the moment that we do a screen reader demo, it's life-changing, because by that time, no one actually knows how inaccessible their site is and what huge blockers people have and they're trying to navigate the site, even, you know, with a keyboard. And that is where the educational piece actually comes to play. On just more kind of human to human level, that's the way that we are trying to approach our customers, to educate them on the barriers that they're providing. However, another thing is that we go back and we talk about, hey, you know, it is the right thing to do. At the end of the day, you are wasting opportunities and you're wasting generating huge amount of revenue because of that. And let us help you. Let us guide you through this whole process, consult your team, train you. So we are training also management. We are training designers, content creators, developers, because at the end of the day, we're trying to enable you. We are not trying to gatekeep any secrets when it comes to that. We want you to succeed and we want you to have enough knowledge to go and rock it by yourself. And we will be there to support you for any more complicated things that you just don't know.
And testing is, you've mentioned testing several times, and it's such a critical thing because it's not just a one-off. Can you talk me through the types of testing you do, how you do it? Like what is the role of like a accessibility specialist like Crown Peak versus what does a business need to take ownership of itself?
The great thing about, I'll say, our company, not that I'm trying to right now sell it, but what I absolutely love is that we have a very holistic approach. We have, there are two types of testing. You have the automated testing and you have the manual testing. Automated testing, there's also a lot of available free tools that you can get your hands on, but it will take you a lot of time to decipher which are actual violations, because the automated tools catch only 30% of the guidelines. That's why you need a person to go and explore the site for you. And within Crown Peak, we have DQM, Digital Quality Management System, that does scan your site, provides a very high-level overview of the violations on your site from all conformance levels, A, AA, AAA. We also cover usability, SEO, and many more. You can also use that tool to assist even things that you will be pushing to production and staging. We have the so-called page checker. But once we have, this is something you have access to that dashboard, you have that visibility, and there's, of course, the manual checks that my team works on. And that's where we're exploring this site with different assistive technology, browsers, operational systems like Mac, Windows, to ensure that across the board, we have tested everything. We're providing you with that information so then you can take it off and start working on it. And if you can't, we also offer remediation. So if your team is focused on developing new features or fixing maybe old bugs, and right now you cannot have anyone else jump on accessibility, we are here to support, because our team is made of certified accessibility specialists and developers. So combining all of that, you have people that can work on different types of code, can work with your developers, with your workflow, and assist along the way.
And I'd love to know what you prioritize, because see, you can't fix everything instantly and you can't get to the ultimate level of compliance like AAA on everything, because a commercial website would cease trading if it tried to achieve that, and it doesn't have to legally. So how do you help it? Because I get some of the times I hear people go, I'm not sure what I should focus on. Like, you know, I'm missing alt and title tags on images. Is that my number one priority? Versus, well, actually, I've got some part of the site that's hidden by a script and it can't be read by a screen reader. So what do you normally find to be the big priorities that people need to fix?
So I really love how you said how you mentioned the alternative text, and that people focusing on that is that my number one priority. Everything is dependent on the context. What do I mean by that? Now, if you have a website that is accessible, but you are gatekeeping it with a login that it's inaccessible, well, you know that you have alt text missing, let's say, behind that wall, but your login is inaccessible. Well, that's your critical path right there. What you want to do is that you want the user to register, log in, and then access and browse through your site. Great. But if the login is inaccessible, I cannot see anything else. So your number one priority will be to make that accessible and focus on the alternative text later on. Now, additionally, I will be like very focused on alternative text right now. If you have alternative text that you're using across the board as without like not having it, putting it as null, well, great. But are those images decorative, or are they relaying some meaning that someone using a screen reader will not understand? And that's how you want to prioritize. My advice will be focus on the, first of all, if there are 10 things that people normally do on your site, focus on fixing the issues on that. Focus on your critical user journeys and the issues that were reported on these journeys. That'll be your number one priority. Everything else can be deprioritized. After that, focus on everything else, because back to the context, if we have an alternative text that is decorative, but you don't necessarily need it right now, you want to focus on the main navigation that the user can't even get to that alternative text image or icon because the navigation is just not even allowing you to browse through that page. Well, that alternative text will be the last thing that you worry about.
Yeah, I think that's really sensible advice. It's because there's lots of maxims of things that you must do, but they have different levels of impact. And I look at the prioritization quadrants where you've got like criticality, which is if you don't fix it, you're not compliant and you're going to get screwed legally, to quick wins, which is, do you know what? This is easy to do. We can just get on and fix it. And then fill-ins, which are the stuff you know that you should be doing, but they're not a compliance risk and they're not going to make or break the site for people. And as and when you've got time, you tick them off. So it's really important to prioritize on that. I've really enjoyed this, actually. I could carry on chatting for a long time about accessibility, because I'm with you, and I believe quite passionately that we should do it. And I know that my site keeps needing to be improved. Every time I think I've done something better, I realize there's more and more to do. So I'm equally as guilty and need to slap myself around the face and sort that out. But if people are interested, like maybe they've heard something that's piqued their interest, but they want to probe a bit more about Crown Peak or, you know, the accessibility expertise, how do they reach out? What's the best way of contacting?
That's a fantastic question. When it comes to accessibility services, if anyone would like to reach out to me, and I'll redirect them to our sales folks and our sales teams that will be working with them to identify budget needs. But also, give me 1 second. I don't want to speak on top of my head. Our site does have a prompt that is going to redirect you to someone to get started on your journey. So you can visit crownpeak.com and you have a prompt on the homepage, request a demo. And from there, we can start helping and assisting you with what you need, what you should focus on first, and start working on all of those fixes.
And the landing page on our website for this podcast, there'll be a link to Arena. So if you did want to reach out directly, you can. So I really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for joining us. I've enjoyed the episode. And thanks everyone for listening. I hope you found it useful. I hope it's like prompted some debates within the business on what you might be able to do smarter around accessibility. Keep your ear out for the next episode. We drop it every week. And don't forget to give us a rating before you go if you haven't already. Thanks, everybody. Until next time. For more information on this topic, head over to replatform.fm for our audio podcasts. To discuss a project, or if you'd like to chat about any of the topics covered in this episode in more detail, please reach out to myself, James Gerd, or my co-host, Paul Rogers, via LinkedIn and Twitter. Thanks again for listening, and keep your ears peeled for the next episode.